Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Michelle. Somebody give it up for Jesus. Yeah, give it up for Jesus. Amen. We came from Wycliffe today. I did transition there, and Pastor Troy was scheduled to preach, and we were in Florida last week. And last night I was looking at, you know, I'm a stalker, and so I have his location. And so I was looking at his location, and it was like 11 o'clock, and he was in Orlando. And I was like, why are you still in Orlando? You are preaching tomorrow. And so finally, I woke up this morning, and I looked, and he was in Avon. But he didn't get back until like 5 o'clock in the morning. His flight got delayed several times. And he just, you know, he got here, and Pastor Beckham was going to go up and preach, and he got up anyway, and he came, he went to Wycliffe and preached. Praise God, right? Yeah, that boy's a beast for the kingdom, you know? So joy is your compass, and Jesus is your destination. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this time right now. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, let it saturate each heart in this place. You know our hearts, God. I pray that you would open up the eyes of our hearts so we can see you today, Father. Transform us and change us, God. We don't want to walk out of here the same way that we walked in. We love you and we bless you today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Do we have our vision statement? This vision statement is so powerful. We have like three of our kids in Wycliffe who have already memorized this vision statement, and we're going to have them come up next week and just speak it over the congregation. Can we read this together? All right. I am a courageous champion of my generation. I walk in purpose and the identity of God. I can do all things. I am confident and chosen. I know God's word is true. I am led by the Holy Spirit. I am a child of God, and I make him proud. Ooh, I love it. I love it. Amen, amen. Well, last time I was here, I talked about letting go of stuff. Letting go of stuff. And two things happened when you left here. Either you ran home and you got rid of stuff, right? Or you were super excited about it when you left out of here, and then you went home and you watched the game and you took a nap, and then you was like, I'll get it later. And then you're still waiting for later to come, right? That's me. So this week, I want to talk to you about excess baggage. Excess baggage. And I think a lot of times we carry baggage around that we were never designed to carry, you know? Let's take a look at John 14:12, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Somebody say even greater things, than these, because I am going to the Father. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. This is after his crucifixion. So he died, he's resurrected, and he's back hanging out with the disciples. And they're having this conversation, and Jesus is telling them, I have to go be with the Father. And he's going to ascend into heaven, and Scripture tells us that he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, and now the Spirit of God is coming to be with you and me. And as Jesus talks to his disciples, he says that you are going to be able to do even greater things. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, minus what I see God doing in my life, I wouldn't consider it even greater things than Jesus. And so for me, I read it, and sometimes there's this disconnect because I want to do greater things, right? Like, I want to experience even greater things in my life than Jesus experienced. And the Scripture tells me that it is available to me. But I think we tend to just carry around so much baggage from our old life that we miss out on experiencing the new things that God has for us. Pastor Michelle and I, in January, mid-January, we went to Florida. And we walked into the airport, and check-in is the most frantic place ever. Right? Like, so you got this like mobile check-in device that I can never figure out. And so She comes and she gets us all checked in. She hands me this sticker here that I can never figure out how to peel and put on properly. And she says, I'm going to the bathroom. I was like, no, wait. And she just took off. And so she leaves me there to go over to the scale. And now I got to weigh my bag. And, you know, I put that on there and it's 42.7 pounds. So now I'm like, okay, what do I need to get out of here? That's 2.7 pounds. And I unzipped my suitcase and I just decided a hoodie would be it. And so I pulled out the hoodie, I put it around, I put it back on there, and it's 41.3 pounds. And I zipped that thing up, man. I pulled it off of there, and the lady was looking at me, and she said, are you going to take something off? And I was like, no, I'm not going to take anything off. And so I grabbed a bag, and I started walking. And she grabs her suitcase, she throws it on there, and it was like 41.9. And she's like looking at me, and she's like, do you think I should take something out of my suitcase? And I said, listen, lady. Like, you're talking to a man whose wife has to tell him to cut his meat smaller so he doesn't choke and die. And you're asking me what you should do with your suitcase. No, don't take anything out of it. Let's just get out of here. And so then you got to go into that line, you know, up to the agent, and don't get caught texting while they're saying next because they'll kill you if you're not ready, right? But on the way to the line, I noticed this family of four that was running towards me, and there was a mom, and she had two young kids, and I don't know, they were about four or five, and the two kids had no idea what was going on. They had phones plastered to their faces, and mom was just in a frenzy. And coming up behind them, in the, you know, bringing up the rear, was dad. And dad's carrying everybody's stuff, right? Like, he's got everybody's stuff. He's like sweating profusely. Nobody's helping this poor guy out. I mean, I think he was like just kicking one suitcase like as he walked, right? He looked completely exhausted. And in that moment, I heard the Lord say to me, this is what a lot of you look like, Marlon. This is what a lot of you look like. You know, we don't have bags. We don't have suitcases and baggage, but what we're carrying is, and we're not headed to any kind of terminal, but the terminal that we're headed to is the terminal in our minds. And so every morning we get up and we just begin to pick up baggage after baggage, right? And a lot of us get up in the morning immediately, we begin to pick it up, and we go to this carousel in our mind, and we're not picking up bags of leather and plastic, but what we're picking up is burdens, yeah. Right? And so what we have is we have a suitcase of guilt, and we have a sack of discontentment and a duffel bag of weariness and a bag of grief on one shoulder and another bag of doubt on the other. We have this overnight bag of loneliness and a suitcase of fear just to bring it all together. And we're walking around wondering, why am I so exhausted? Why am I so exhausted? And it's because we're trying to juggle all of this excess baggage in our lives. And so Michelle and I, we carried on through the airport, and we got to the boarding line area. And so I got her all set up, and, you know, I got her phone plugged in, sat her down, and then I went back to my people watching. And I, amen. And I went and I sat down, and sure enough, right there at our terminal was the same family. You know? And there the dad is, like, trying to get that bag in, what do you call that thing? It's like a overhead device. To put, you know, to fit it in there, to say whether or not it's enough to, you know, it's not big enough to go in the overhead device. And so he's got this, and he's trying to shove this thing in there, right? And I don't know, I mean, I think they were only leaving for a couple of days or a week, but it looked like this family was never coming back. And finally, the girl from Frontier, she comes over and she says, sir, listen, you have excess baggage. You have excess baggage, which is just a term they use to say that you're carrying too much stuff. right? You have a desire to bring too much onto the plane. And if you have excess baggage, there's a fee that's attached to that excess baggage, right? That you have to pay for your excess baggage. And I think sometimes that we carry things around not realizing what it's actually going to cost us. Because make no mistake, it will cost you. What you choose to carry around will cost you. It's not if it's cost you, it's when it's going to cost you, because baggage acquires a cost. And so my goal today is just to help you let go of some things that you've been holding on to. Because I believe the reason that we don't experience these greater things in life is because we're still carrying baggage from where we used to be. Amen? And if you would just set down the old baggage, you'll be able to pick up the new things that God has for you. Amen? So let's go to 1 Kings 19:21, and we're going to go through 19:19. We'll go through 21, and this is what we're going to work out of today. It says, so Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. What's happening here in this moment is that prophets in the Old Testament were these men of God who had this ridiculous responsibility, right? They were counselors to kings. They were chosen vessels that God would use to communicate through. And so God would speak to the prophet would speak to the people. I mean, this is a lot of responsibility that they had. And so Elijah comes to Elisha and throws his cloak around him. Elijah is a prophet. Elisha isn't there yet. And so what Elijah was doing when he does this is he says that I'm going to give what covered me, I'm going to give it to you to cover you. Right? I'm raising up an understudy is what he's saying. I'm inviting you into this journey that could change your life forever. And I think sometimes when we carry excess baggage, the thing that we need to remember is that God's plan for your life is bigger than your right here and now. We just don't see it. When my son Braxton was about 8 years old, we were driving around in Cleveland. We were looking for a place to eat, and it's the first time I went into a Bippy Bop. And we walked in, and I walked right inside the door, you know, and I just sat there and read the menu from the door. And I don't know, I sat there for about 30 seconds, and I said, no, I don't think I'm going to like anything here. And so we started to walk out, and Braxton said, you can see that? I said, you can't see that? He said, no. I said, what does it look like to you? He said, it's just blurry. I said, how long have you been dealing with that? He said, always. I said, why didn't you ever say anything to me? Yes, I thought everybody saw it like that. And so that day we discovered that Braxton needed glasses. He had poor vision. And I think a lot of us live with poor vision today. Right? We get so stuck in our here and now and the circumstances that surround us that we forget that God is and that he always will be the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, right? The beginning and the end. That while we only see our current circumstances, what's going on around us, God sees where you are right now, but he also sees where he's taking you. He also knows what's ahead. Amen? And if we just allow him to speak into our lives, I believe what he'd do is he would elevate your vision. He would elevate your vision to understand and see that his plan for your life is bigger than your current experiences. God's plan is bigger than the baggage that you're currently carrying. Where does the prophet Elijah find Elisha? He finds him plowing behind this 12th team of oxen. So get this. There are 12 teams of oxen. Elisha is in the caboose of the 12th team, right? This is Elisha's daily gig. Every day, he is pretty much staring at the rear ends of oxen. That's what he's doing day in and day out. Right? It's horrible. Right? It's horrible. That's what he's doing. It's mundane. Sounds like the worst 9-to-5 that you could ever ask for, right? I'm sure he complained about it, getting up and going to work every single day. But nonetheless, this is where Elisha was. But see, it's in the middle of the mundane that God meets him and calls him into the miraculous. Amen? See, what Elijah saw that Elisha didn't was this bigger picture that God had for his future. And I truly think that God has a bigger picture for your life today. Amen. Bigger than just plowing behind oxen, bigger than the job that you're at right now, bigger than the bad relationships that you're in right now, like bigger than the debt that you're looking at or the loneliness that you're feeling. God has a bigger plan for you. He wants to give you big vision so you can experience the greater things in life. Amen. But what we tend to do sometimes is we tend to carry things for our here and now. Right, what the lady from Frontier was telling this guy when she said, you have excess baggage, is she's saying you're actually carrying too much to get on this plane and go where we need to go. And I wonder if we're carrying some stuff today that God is telling us, you can't take that where I'm about to take you. He can't go where I'm taking you. That thing that you're carrying around with you, it can't go. She can't roll with you where we're about to go. And if we knew where God was taking us, I'm telling you, we would lay it down. We would just lay it down and pick up what he has for us. God's plan for your life is bigger than you right now. But the key to this whole thing is obedience. It is obedience. Obedience is the key that unlocks the plans that God has for our lives. And so Elisha does this in 1 Kings 19:20. It says, Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll go with you. See, when we're in transition from our old life into our new life, we have a natural tendency to actually go back into the old way of living, right? Elisha left the oxen. He ran to the prophet, and then he said, hey, I'll be back real quick. I just got to go do something. Right? I felt this natural draw to do the exact same thing when I gave my life to Jesus. Like I gave my life to Jesus in October 2015, and he rescued me from alcoholism. And the first thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to run back to the bar. I wanted to run back to the spot because I wanted to rescue everybody. Because I thought in my mind, really, I can do it. Right? But it doesn't work like that. I didn't even have vision enough to see what God was doing in my circumstances at that time. I was going to rescue everybody, not realizing that I will never be the Savior. And so Elijah tells him, you can go back. Tell your mother and father goodbye. But don't you forget what you've been invited into. Don't forget what you've been invited into. Because you got to have bigger vision for your here and now. The second thing that I want you to know today is that God is inviting you into deeper surrender today. He's inviting you into deeper surrender. Like, I don't know what baggage you're currently dealing with or holding on to. I mean, maybe it's a sin issue, right? Maybe it's a past mistake that you're dealing with. It might even be baggage from a relationship. I don't know what it is, but here's what I do know, is that we all have baggage. Every one of us in here has baggage. There is not one of us in here who's exempt from going through this baggage claim carousel of life. You got baggage, I got baggage, we all got baggage. Some of us are walking around with baggage that we don't even know we're carrying. What's so awesome about Jesus is this, is that as we grow in our walk with him, he begins to reveal the baggage that you're carrying, right? And then he invites you into this opportunity to then surrender it to him, right? In our marriage, I'm the overpacker. So I'm the one that packs 5 outfits for 2-day trips. I never know how I'm gonna feel. Never know. You know? My mama taught me never to get caught with some dirty underwear. Listen. And so I'm getting better at like guesstimating the 40-pound weight limit, you know. What Pastor Michelle does is she'll pack all of her stuff like 2 days prior to us leaving. And then she'll look at me and she'll say, 40 pounds. And so I'll start grabbing all my stuff and I'll put it in the suitcase. And then there starts this whole process of like, okay, do I really need 3 pair of shoes for a 2-day trip?
Yes.
Mm. I got my amen corner over there. Amen. Yes, yes, you do, Pastor. Put another pair up in there. Amen. You know, do I really need 3 pair of jeans? We're going to Florida. We're going to Florida. Right? Do I really need 4 books for the trip when you've only read 2 books in 3 years? I don't know. And so there's this process of elimination that happens in this bag. And one of the best things that we can do for ourselves, I believe, is to assess what baggage you're carrying and then ask the Lord, why am I carrying this? Reveal to me why I'm carrying this. Because there's a reason why you're still carrying the guilt. Right? There's a reason why you're still walking around carrying shame and carrying fear. There's a reason why you're still in the abusive relationship. Here's what I've learned, though, is that is what you hold on to reveals who you trust. What you hold on to just reveals what you trust. So when I choose to hold on to the old ways of living, when I choose to just hold on to my guilt and my own shame instead of picking up the things of God, what it shows is that I actually trust my fear more than I trust my Savior. Shows that I'd rather place my hope and trust in this suitcase of guilt. And here's what some of Christians do. Here's what they do. We'll just pick up our suitcase, our sinning suitcase, and we'll just say, oh, I'm just a sinner. But when God looks at you, that's not what he sees. He doesn't see that. But what the enemy's doing, the enemy wants to trick you into doing, is carrying your suitcase of sinner so that you never pick up your suitcase of a saint. That's what he wants to do. Your identity has to be so deeply rooted in who you are in Jesus. The more you grow in your relationship with Jesus, the more surrender that you're invited into. And it's through that, it's through surrender that you become more and more like him. Amen. Amen. And so 1 Kings 19:21 says, so Elisha returned. Elisha returned. He remembered. He remembered what he was being invited into. Right? He remembered the calling that was on his life. And he saw that it was this great opportunity. Here's what he knew. He knew that if he didn't get rid of the old things that he was used to, that he would never be able to walk in the new things that God was calling him into. There was no way. If he didn't get rid of some stuff when things got difficult and when things got tough, what Elisha was going to do was he was just going to return back to what he used to do. He was going to return back and get behind the 12 team of oxen, and he would have just been plowing for the rest of his life. So what does he do? It says, so Elisha returned to the oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. God is calling us to a place of deeper surrender. But sometimes what we tend to do is we'll just pack everything. Right? We'll pack everything just in case I need it. Just in case I need it. And so you've been carrying around a porn addiction that you've tried to get rid of for years, but I'm going to still carry it just in case I need it. You've been struggling with alcohol in the past, but that's not who you are anymore. But I'll just keep a couple of beers in the refrigerator just in case company comes over or just in case I need it. But what God wants you to do today is he wants you to kill off the old life. Yes, right? He wants you to kill off the old things that you've been holding on to. He is inviting you into a place of deep surrender with him. And it's in that place that you get to experience even greater things. What the enemy wants us to believe is that we can achieve all these other things without experiencing, we can experience all these great things without surrendering everything to God. You see, when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, the Bible says that he took Jesus up on a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give you authority over all this. Right? What was he doing? He was inviting Jesus to the crown without the cross. He's saying, I'll give you everything you want. Just don't surrender to that whole dying on the cross thing. You want the keys? I'll give them to you right now. And Jesus denies him. And then if you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, we hear Jesus pray this, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Total surrender. It's us telling God that I'm willing. Like this baggage, this suitcase of my life, if it means that I have to lay this thing down in order for your will to be accomplished in my life, I'll lay it down. So maybe today, your place of surrender is your life, right? You've been Lord of your life, and you've continued to carry it over and over and over again. Here's what I've learned about being the Lord of my life is I mess it up a lot. I jack it up a whole bunch, right? Scripture tells me that the ways that seem right to me end in death. And so I've done a pretty good job of messing up things by myself. When we place our hope and trust in an all-knowing God, everything changes. God's calling you to a place of deeper surrender. Maybe the place of surrender is a suitcase of approval of others. Social media lovers. But Paul says in Galatians that if I were to try to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. You see, I can't follow Jesus and please everybody at the same time. Right? One pastor said, if you want to please people, you should just sell ice cream. Maybe the suitcase you need to lay down is your family. There's an attack on our families today, y'all. There's an attack on marriages, on our kids. And the longer that you attempt to lord over your family, the longer the devil will beat you up in that area. But when you surrender control of your family into the hands of a loving father, everything changes. Everything changes. The enemy wants to uproot our marriages because it destroys the way that we see our covenant with God. Right? The devil's made marriage all about convenience instead of covenant. Right? And so we feel like if we want to give up on you, we'll just swipe right. Marriage was given to us as this picture of the covenant relationship between Christ and his bride. And the enemy has just convinced us that if my wife can walk away from me, so can God. But that's not the case. That's not the case. He is pursuing you. He's been pursuing you before you were even born. He's been pursuing you. He continues to pursue you. The enemy wants to uproot our kids. There's this real attack against our kids today, y'all. Like, if you don't know, though, but God loves your children way more than you will ever love your children. So surrendering control of your kids to him is the best move that you will ever make. Why does the enemy want to attack our kids? It's like what King Herod did, right, when he was trying to kill infant Jesus. Because it's easier to kill a kid than it is to kill a king. If he can take a kid out, he'll never become a king. And so the devil launches this full-scale attack on our kids. Maybe the thing you need to surrender today is your finances. Listen, tithing is actually the easiest, the least risky thing that you'll ever surrender. When you place your control of your finances into the hands of a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, listen, whose resources are unlimited, it is incredible what you'll see him do, how he'll move in your life. There's so many things that we continue to carry and continue to lord over, but what we need to understand is with every step of surrender, God will deepen our walk with him. Amen? Amen. Third and final thing that I want to show you is that God allows you to burn your old life in order to experience new life. It says, so Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople and they all ate. Then he went to Elijah with Elijah as his assistant. In order for us to walk in everything that God has for us, listen, we got to set things down and walk away from our old ways of living. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Listen, if God gives you a clean slate, why don't you give you a clean slate? Why do you continue to carry things around with you from your past mistakes and your past failures, your faults and flaws? When God is saying, listen, I'm giving you the opportunity to set it down and to walk into all the things that I have for you. Amen. That's the blessing of God. That we have this opportunity to experience his beauty and his power by letting go of the old things and walking in the new. Elisha goes on to experience double portion blessings. He saw twice the amount of miracles than his predecessor saw. And I believe that it all came from this one decision, right? To kill off his old life, to kill off the oxen, to remove the things that attached him to the old way of living and walk in all the things that God had for him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stand with me so we can close. Hebrews chapter 11 is considered the Hall of Faith. It goes through all these Old Testament heroes and it shows how God had been faithful through each one of their lives. And it shows us this Hall of Fame of faith because the Bible tells us that God has no favorites. He has no favorites. That we're no different than the prophet Elisha. So the same thing that God did in our lives, he can do, or in his life, he can do in yours. And so we get to Hebrews chapter 12 after we hear about all these heroes and all that God's done. And chapter 12:1 says this, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Like he's saying, there's all these people who've seen God do all these incredible things in their lives. And because we're surrounded by them, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. See, there's not just one thing that he's telling us to put down. There's two. He says in one hand, we got all this weight, right? That's weighing us down. And in the other, we got the sin that so easily trips us up. And so maybe today the thing that you need to drop isn't something that's sinful, but it is something that's slowing you down. It is a weight. Let's just throw that off, right? Set it down. And sin issues, you can give that over to him too. That's the only way that you're going to be able to run with endurance the race that you've been called to run. And I'm sure that we've all been there, right? We've all been there, or we've seen somebody who's made the decision to give their life to Jesus, and they are passionate. They're passionate about Jesus, right? They're on fire. They're excited about their walk with Jesus. And they're just, you know, they're just thanking Jesus. And it's incredible what he's doing in their lives. Thank you for saving me. And then they begin to run their race. But they run it carrying all this luggage. And then 6 months down the line, they ain't coming to church no more. Right, they're shooting off passive aggressive posts on Facebook. Like, the Jesus thing was cool for a minute, but it just ain't for me right now. And I believe the key to running a race with endurance is that you have to throw off the weights. You have to set it down. Listen, I can't run my race with all this stuff weighing me down. I can hardly run as it is. But carrying all this stuff, forget about it. It's impossible. But when you lay it down, when you give it all to God and allow him to take it, because he can take it, you get to leave behind the old life and walk in the new life, and it changes everything. Amen. Let's pray. Father, just help us to surrender the excess baggage in our lives, Father. When we pick up the things in our lives, God, help us to set them down, Father. We trust that your plan for our lives is bigger than our current circumstances, Father, bigger than our here and now. We're so grateful, Jesus, that you not only see us where we are, but you also know the plans that you have for us. You know where we're going. We thank you, Father, for meeting us in the mundane and inviting us into the miraculous, Lord. Give us bigger vision today. Give us bigger vision to walk in the things that you've called us into. Help us to walk in a deeper surrender this week, Lord. We lay it all down today, Father, and we just ask that your will be done in our lives. Open the eyes of our heart, Father, so we can see you clearly. Walk in the path of righteousness. And do even greater things. We love you and we bless you today, Jesus. In your matchless name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, thank you guys for being here today. We hope to see you all at midweek. If you need prayer, we'll have some of our prayer ministers come up here, our pastors come up here and pray for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, it is the most important thing that you will ever, ever, ever in your life do. The worst time to give your life to Jesus is tomorrow. Do it today. Do it today. Thank you all for being here. We love you. Remember to live right, love everybody, and pray hard.